If you live or work in New Jersey, you likely see polluted sites all the time without even knowing it. There are thousands of them across the Garden State, and since 2009, private sector contractors have been doing much of the cleanup. As part of our Dirty Little Secrets series, WHYY's Joe Hernandez took a look at how outsourcing toxic site cleanup is working in New Jersey.
On Princeton Avenue in Maple Shade, Burlington County, just off busy Route 73, a few residents who live around the corner from a contaminated gas station had no idea it was leaking into the soil and groundwater.
Well, I thought, that they were checking something, but then it was like, I said to my husband, like, how long does it take? That's been up there a couple years. Why is that? They forgot to take the sign down, I thought.
Wow, I'm just surprised. I didn't know. Maybe that's why none of my flowers ever grow.
I don't know what they've done, you know what I mean? So I don't know if the company's cleaning it up or if the state's cleaning it up. That I'm not sure either. But, you know, I mean, they're trying to clean it up, so I guess that's good.
That was Beverly Schrenk, Bob Richards, and Kimberly Crean. And their confusion is understandable. Records show contamination at the gas station goes back as far as 1995. But cleanup is starting to pick up in Maple Shade and at toxic sites all across New Jersey, thanks to a state law known as the Site Remediation Reform Act. It was passed in 2009, not long after the Department of Environmental Protection, or DEP, got hit with a series of big staff and funding cuts.
It just became very, very difficult for the existing staff to manage the amount of cases that were coming through the department.
Mark Mariello was DEP commissioner in 2009. He says that having a small staff responsible for such a heavy workload, about 20,000 cases, meant that contaminated sites were getting cleaned up very slowly.
Which is not good environmentally, and it's not good for communities, and it's not good for the property owners who are trying to get these sites back into productive use.
Cue the Site Remediation Reform Act, which did several things. The biggest one, though, was turning over authority of the cleanups at most sites to the private sector. DEP case managers used to do that work themselves, but now the department would license environmental professionals to oversee toxic site cleanups and be responsible for the outcome. They're called Licensed Site Remediation Professionals, or LSRPs. At that gas station in Maple Shade, the LSRP is Philip Brilliant, who owns the firm Brilliant Environmental Services.
I was born with that. It's a great marketing name, I'll tell you that much.
When I caught up with Brilliant at the gas station, he and a handful of workers were trying to figure out how badly some leaked gasoline had polluted the groundwater.
And as we walk over, you'll see some little concrete patches on the asphalt. And these are monitoring wells. We go to the first groundwater where we encounter groundwater. We set the well, and we're looking for gasoline, which is a floater.
As the LSRP for this gas station, Brilliant is responsible for directing the entire cleanup. He did a historical investigation of the site, tested the soil and groundwater, and will devise a plan to clean it all up. Brilliant, who had previously worked alongside the DEP as a consultant, says now LSRPs can make decisions about their sites and perform cleanups without asking permission first.
You're not waiting for somebody at DEP to pick a report up from a file cabinet and take a look at it and come back to you with responses.
The DEP says the LSRP program has been a total success. When it started, there were more than 20,000 sites in the state's toxic cleanup program. Now there are about 14,000. In 2014, for the first time, the DEP closed more toxic cleanup cases than it opened. But privatizing toxic site cleanup doesn't sit well with everyone.
And you created essentially an entire shadow arm of state government that was not only responsible to the DEP, but also responsible to their clients, the very companies that had created the pollution in the first place.
Doug O'Malley runs the group Environment New Jersey. He says there's a conflict of interest when the LSRPs are being paid by the same property owners who they're supposed to be holding accountable for a thorough cleanup. He also says LSRPs had too much influence over creating the law that created them.
You essentially have an insider club, and they have successfully worked to, weaken standards and make it easier so that they wouldn't get in trouble.
But the DEP says it still holds sway over these private professionals. An independent licensing board vets each potential LSRP. That board then audits 10% of LSRPs every year and levies penalties if they break the rules. Last month, for the first time ever, the board voted to suspend an LSRP's license. Proponents say this proves the program works, that penalties for doing a shoddy job and the knowledge that they bear the ultimate responsibility for a cleanup means LSRPs won't try to game the system. To illustrate that point, DEP Assistant Commissioner Mark Peterson described a reaction one woman had at a meeting with a group of LSRPs.
And I said, okay, so tell me, how's it working for you? And she looked at me panicked. First thing out of her mouth was, I can't sleep at night.
Peterson says that shows how seriously they're taking the job. In fact, he says that out of the nearly 7,000 cases closed in the program, LSRPs have withdrawn only about 2 or 3%. What remains to be seen is whether that number grows or shrinks as the program gets older. From the New Jersey desk, I'm Joe Hernandez, WHYY News.